This is Alastair Hutton with some information about the medals to be presented at this year's Olympic Games in Paris, which will feature Paris 24 in Braille as a homage to Louis Braille. The medals presented at this year's Summer Olympic Games in Paris will be inscribed with Paris 2024 in Braille, in homage to the man who invented the reading and writing system for the visually impaired, Louis Braille. The medals will also carry small pieces of the original Eiffel Tower, gleaned from the refurbishments of the historic tower and stored in a secret location. But while athletes will compete to be the best in the world, how many will ask who was Louis Braille? Louis Braille grew up in Couperet, a small town about 20 miles east of Paris, where his father, Simon René, maintained a successful business dealing in leather goods, and particularly in creating tack for horses. One day, in 1812, when he was only 3 years old, the always curious Louis was trying to make holes in a piece of hard leather with an awl when the tool slipped. He was too young to have the experience or the strength to stop it skipping across the firm surface and stabbing him in one of his eyes. History is confused as to which eye it was, but that was irrelevant, for although the local doctor patched the wound, and although the next day a surgeon in Paris examined the eye, he was unable to stop it becoming infected. The infection spread to the other eye, so that by the time he was 5, Louis Braille was completely blind. For quite a long time, Louis didn't realise that he had lost his sight and kept asking why it was always dark. His parents did a fine job in raising the boy as any normal child. His father cut canes for him, and he learned to navigate the village and country paths around Couperet. And, of course, his disability didn't slow down his bright and creative mind, and he made his way into higher education. In February 1819, he was enrolled in one of the first schools for blind children in the world, the Royal Institute for Blind Youth, since renamed as the National Institute for Blind Youth in Paris. The institute taught children how to read using a system devised by the school's founder, Valentin Hoy. Hoy was a philanthropist who devoted his life to helping the blind, although he wasn't blind himself. He designed and manufactured a small library of books for the children using a technique of embossing heavy paper with the raised imprints of Latin letters. The Hoy books had provided a breakthrough that the sense of touch was a workable strategy for sightless reading. However, the system didn't give the students the ability to write with it, so Louis created an alphabet made from bits of thick leather. Although it was slow and cumbersome, the boy could write his first sentences and send letters home. Braille read the Hoy books repeatedly, and he was equally attentive to the oral instruction offered by the school. He proved to be a highly proficient student, and after he'd exhausted the school's curriculum, he was immediately asked to remain as a teacher's aide. By 1833, he was elevated to a full professorship. For much of the rest of his life, Braille stayed at the institute where he taught history, geometry, and algebra. Braille was determined to invent a system of reading and writing that could bridge the gap in communication between the sighted and the blind. In his own words, "Access to communication in the widest sense is access to knowledge, and that is vitally important for us if we, the blind, are not to go on being despised or patronised by condescending sighted people. We don't need pity, nor do we need to be reminded we're vulnerable. We must be treated as equals, and communication is the way this can be brought about." In 1821, Braille learned of a communication system devised by Charles Barbier, and his code of raised dots inspired Braille to develop a system of his own. Braille worked tirelessly on his ideas, and the system was largely completed by 1824, when he was 15 years old. From Barbier's system, he innovated it by simplifying its form and maximizing its efficiency. He made uniform columns for each letter, and he reduced 12 raised dots to 6. Braille created his own raised dot system using Barbier's tools. By soldering two metal strips across the slate, he created a secure area for the stylus, which would keep the lines straight and readable. By these modest means, Braille constructed a robust communication system. "It bears the stamp of genius," wrote Dr. Richard Slating French, former director of the California School for the Blind, "like the Roman alphabet itself." Braille produced several written works about Braille and as general education for the blind, and many of Braille's original printed works remain available at the Braille Birthplace Museum in Coupfray. Although Braille was admired and respected by his pupils, his writing system was not taught at the Institute during his lifetime. The successors of Valentin Hoy, who had died in 1824, showed no interest in altering the established methods of the school, and indeed they were actively hostile to its use. Dr. Alexandre René Pignet, headmaster at the school, was dismissed from his post after he had a history book translated into Braille. Braille had always been a sickly child, and his condition worsened in adulthood. A persistent respiratory illness, long believed to be tuberculosis, dogged him. Despite the lack of a cure at the time, Braille lived with the illness for 16 years. By the age of 40, he was forced to relinquish his position as a teacher, and when his condition reached mortal danger, he was admitted to the infirmary at the Royal Institution, where he died in 1852, 2 days after he had reached the age of 43. Through the overwhelming insistence of the blind pupils, Braille's system was finally adopted by the Institute in 1854, 2 years after his death. The system spread throughout the French-speaking world, but was slower to expand in other places. However, by the time of the first All-European Conference of Teachers of the Blind in 1873, its international use was increasing rapidly. By 1882, it was possible to report that there is now probably no institution in the civilized world where Braille is not used, except in parts of North America. Eventually, even these holdouts relented. Braille was officially adopted by schools for the blind in the United States in 1916, and a universal Braille code for English was formalized in 1932. The immense personal legacy of Louis Braille was described in a 1952 essay by T.S. Eliot. Perhaps the most enduring honour to the memory of Louis Braille is the half-conscious honour we pay him by applying his name to the script he invented, and in this country, England, adapting the pronunciation of his name to our own language. We honour Braille when we speak of Braille. His memory has in this way a security greater than that of the memories of many men more famous in their day. Braille's childhood home in Coupfray houses the Louis Braille Museum. A large monument to him was erected in the town square, which was itself renamed Braille Square. On the centenary of his death, his remains were moved to the Pantheon in Paris. In a symbolic gesture, Braille's hands were left in Coupfray, reverently buried near his home. Statues and other memorials to Louis Braille can be found around the world. He's been commemorated in postage stamps worldwide, and the asteroid 9969 Braille was named for him in 1992. The Encyclopaedia Britannica lists him among the 100 most influential inventors of all time. And now, he'll be immortalized again in the medals presented at the 2024 Olympic Games.